Hey everyone, Avi Gorin, CEO and co-founder of Marquee, and I want to talk about the customer journey for a second. You never know as a restaurant owner where your guests are truly coming from. End of the day, we do see some patterns around two types of search behaviors, direct versus discovery. Direct search, for an example, would be jumping into Google and saying Cali barbecue hours, right? I know where I want to go to eat, but I'm missing a key detail. I need a little bit more information. Discovery, which is the bulk of searches, is barbecue in San Diego, restaurants near me, takeout near me, right? One of the best ways to be found for more discovery searches is leveraging keywords. Reviews are basically free content for you to leverage. Think about keywords that are relevant to your brand, your location, and include as many of those in your review responses as possible, right? How can you go about doing this? Let's set up reports, utilize tools like Google Trends, find out what's going on in your area and how you can help leverage these keywords and review responses, because someone else is doing that, right? If you need some examples, you could do anything from including summer menu, gluten-free menu, leverage specific menu items like the dreaded and beloved spice pumpkin anything in your review responses, right? Let them know what's coming. Let your reviewers know something they should come back and try. And of course, if all of this just seems overwhelming and daunting because you're already running a restaurant and have enough on your plate, just leverage the team at Marquee to do this for you. We handle all of this. We're experts in this space. We can automate this, so it's just another item that you know you are taking care of. Again, that's marquee.com, M-A-R-Q-I-I, M-A-R-Q-I-I.com. Know you. However, we did recently buy M-A-R-Q-U-I-I.com, so if you do misspell it, we got you. You'll still find us. We can still help you.
All right, guys, check it out. We have a legit legend in the house today. And that's, you know, you don't say that lightly. We have Francesco Zamoni, who is bringing L'Antica Pizzeria da Michele, has brought, never mind, is bringing, he has brought L'Antica Pizzeria da Michele to New York City, Hollywood, California, Long Beach, and I won't spoil it, but he's not stopping there. And let's not get this twisted. This is not just about pizza. He is big on creating an experience, a vibe, a feeling like you're in Italy. And that's a key component to their success. And I got to tell you, you're going to know in the first 10 seconds that this guy's got passion for what he does. And it's not just about making money. It's not just about making pizza. It's about really having this in your soul. And I really, really, really dug that about him. And I'm looking forward to heading down there. He and I are going to set up a little date to eat some pizza in New York City. So I'm looking forward to that. Started out in finance. And he's just got some of the best stories, and he's one of the best storytellers we've ever had on this show. So I think you guys are going to love it. And yeah, check it out. Francesco Zamoni, L'Antica Pizzeria da Michele. Enjoy. What is up, guys? Welcome to Close Monday. My name is Kyle and Sarah, and this is the show for restaurant owners, for chefs, for culinary students, for startup restaurants, anyone brave enough to take on the challenge of running a restaurant and the pursuit of being what we like to call a restaurant entrepreneur. This is your absolute lifeline, your go-to for real world, no nonsense, in-depth chats and war stories from people who have been in your shoes. Now, you're all on the same quest here, looking for that perfect solution, that perfect piece of technology that's gonna streamline your operations, the killer marketing strategy, the new social media platform that's gonna put your restaurant on the map, the rock solid suppliers who've always got your back. But let's not be naive, there's a lot more to this. Most importantly, things like capital raising, making sense of insurance, and playing real estate like a professional. That's all part of the package. And one of my favorite parts, by the way. But what you need to understand is that each one of these challenges, they're really just opportunities. And as industry veterans, myself, my guests, we're gonna bring battle-hardened knowledge and cutting-edge insights to the table every single week. We've been in it. We've had our neck on the line. We've lost money. We've made money. We've had staff. We've lost staff. We know how it impacts our personal life. We're gonna help you navigate this entire business. Our goal, sole goal, is to give you the information to reach your goals while you stay true to what's most important to you. And what I know, what's important to you are things like quality, hospitality, innovation, sustainability, staying ahead of the curve, staying up with trends, and of course, providing an unforgettable guest experience. So whether you're a seasoned professional, you're a restaurant entrepreneur, or you're a rookie about to jump into your first business, grab a seat, pour yourself a drink, a cup of coffee, put your AirPods on, grab the dog, go for a walk, hit the treadmill, sit on the couch, whatever you're gonna do, we're gonna drop some serious knowledge on you, and it starts right now. Welcome to Close Monday.
I appreciate it, man.
All right, so we're recording.
And good morning.
Thank you for taking the time today. I know as a restaurant guy, the mornings are not usually the best time, so I appreciate this.
I love the statement because I don't really know what is a good time in my life anymore, man.
It's all just time.
It is just, and it's short, and the days are long, and the most optimistic human being, I believe, would go from happy to in panic or sad or wanted to give it all up in a matter of 5 minutes.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm back happy. The shrink is, it should be on a speed dial, man.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, that's what our goal is. Like, we were just talking about this show because I think what one of the goals was for this show is to let these guys know and these ladies know that you're running a restaurant, you're going through all these things and it feels very alone, but everyone kind of goes through the same thing. I think that they think that some people have it easier than others, but that's definitely not the case, right?
I think your statement is absolutely correct. It just really goes into whether, I think if we enlarge that to what a family is, what a business is, what a different business is, you know, life is life. Everybody chooses their own way and some people don't. I think what makes us, what puts us, if we want to call ourselves restaurateurs, puts us in common is the fact that we do have a passion for what we do that has an immediate result with customers, that keeps you on your feet every day because you are as good as your last meal, and then there's clearly an ego attached. Mine is not at a culinary level because I'm not a chef. I design and build, so I have this always this feeling about creating beautiful environments for people. My overall goal is to create homes that serve food. I don't necessarily see my restaurant as just a restaurant. I think, you know, we don't get to the level of saving lives, but we clearly give a place for people to have a couple of hours of good time. And sometimes it's also dramatic. Maybe somebody really needs a word and somebody needs to speak with someone. Somebody wants to say hi. The beauty and the depth of the things that we go through on an everyday basis. And, you know, we could probably have a huge laugh, you and I, right now, thinking about peculiar stories that you have experienced in your restaurateur life and I experience in mine, which every once in a while somebody comes to you and tells you, you have no idea what happened. I went to the bathroom, I found this, the guy died, this happened. You know, like the things you know, somebody walk in and said, can I have these? You know, the things that you hear on a regular basis are like, Jesus Christ. But, you know, it's large numbers.
Yeah. You get a big section of the world coming into your doors every day with, you know, you're right. They could be there to celebrate a big deal. They could be talking about the relationship. It could be a birthday. Yeah.
Somebody crying. Somebody this. Somebody that. You have so much, and then, and you're like a psychologist eventually, and then you are like a brother, a friend, or you need to kick somebody out, or you get somebody that is drunk.
Yeah.
Of course, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of a single restaurant management. And now I jumped from one restaurant in 2019. I opened three in 2022 and 2023 by myself with a couple of friends. We have no investors, institutional. We have just a few friends and family. It's scary, crazy, beautiful, absurd. The whole vocabulary of synonymous and, yeah, and the thesaurus would be just appropriate for breakfast. Then we can go on for different languages for lunch and dinner. Crazy.
I mean, you have quite a journey here, right? I mean, you had started in finance, and now you're in the restaurant. Talk to me about that, because I have a similar background, but I'd love to know how you got started.
Kyle, the 27-year-old guy comes out of college, MBA. I go to live in London. I do junior hedge fund manager in a company. I don't even get to the level of making money or saving or doing, you know, I'm a junior guy there. Finish my business school and both my university final thesis and my business school, I had an orientation into film and entertainment. So I really, one of my professors said, you know what, it's really impossible to go work in US because you're, as an Italian, no one is going to sponsor you. And unfortunately, I was that kind of a guy, probably I'm still am a little bit, the guy that when somebody tells me no, I just have to do it. It's just like, I think it's embedded, not because it's a challenge or not because I had to do it, but it's just like, I knew what I wanted.
Right.
I had lived in Canada when I was 17. I went to school there for a year program. So I loved North America. I loved the size of the trees, the size of the cities. I loved the feel. I don't know why I'm Neapolitan 100%. I love Naples. I'm Italian in all my, you know, genes. I just loved US. I just wanted to be here. You know, I just felt I was okay with a cup of coffee in my car.
As you know what to, I mean? Yeah, yeah, right. That is very American, right? The coffee's
dude. I was okay with my freaking large coffee in the car driving. I was okay with that. I didn't want a white picket fence, but I was okay with the size of the thing, you know?
That's great.
Such a beautiful journey. And then I got a job for Lionsgate Films.
Okay.
In finance, mergers and acquisitions was the group I entered. And we bought a company. I was part of it. I did a library evaluation of this company and it's a publicly traded company, of course. So, and then I got called by another producer, Dino De Laurentiis, a Universal major, mogul, Fellini movie, and all,
yeah,
Schwarzenegger,
yeah,
David Lynch, and then a buddy of mine called me and said, "Hey, we're looking for someone to work as a West Coast manager for a new company for Barilla Pasta. It's called Academia Barilla."
Okay.
It's about a cultural project of bringing products to a major chef, Michelin star rated chef. I said, "Wow, this is great. They're going to give me prosciutto and parmigiano. I got to go around. I got to make some sales, but I'm doing..." I'm like, I'm okay with that. You know, it's like, I love people. I couldn't really see myself in an office anymore. So And I fell in love with the business. You know, my family had restaurants when I was a kid back in Naples.
Ah, there you go.
My dad had two, but they were like different kind of what you do in the United States, right? It's and mom and pop. Here it's more like, you know, we have the locations are all 5,000, 6,000 square feet, right. 250 seats, build outs that are super expensive. Not because they have to be expensive, it's just the idea that we brought in was, how do I create a space that makes people feel like they're on a journey?
Yeah.
I can do it with 1,500 square feet. I can do it with 3,000, 5,000. It's just that, you know, I brought in this brand, Antica Pizzeria da Michele, which is famous to be the very old school, 150 years pizzeria that serves two kinds of pizza, margherita and marinara. One is vegan, one is vegetarian. It's ginormous. It's called wheel truck. It's big. Uh-huh. It costs €5. So, and in the United States, beside my passion for the coffee in the car, you also have, can I get three pizzas to go? We're with friends at home watching a basketball game or a baseball match. The pizza arrives, you got the cheese stick, you got something else. That's what pizza is for Americans.
Right.
It's in the middle of the plate. It's, can I come to your pizza joint? Oh, wow, you're opening a pizza place. You know, pizza was, let's get pizza. You know, it's the word that everybody loves, but would never get any sort of recognition as, wow, dude, the products are actually good.
Yeah.
Of course, things change. the artisanal pizza movement became something else with the last 10 years. Forgive me. But I was still in the idea that pizza was not just my only answer. The answer for me was, it came from a few people that I had met in the years that they, whenever I was getting to talk to people, people were like, why did you leave Italy? Italy's so beautiful.
Mm.
You go to the streets of Rome, you walk around and you feel amazing. And I was like, damn, these people are right. These people are right. This is intangible. Yeah. This is intangible. It's a feeling. It's a feeling, right? It's the same of the coffee, just to really beat the dead horse, right?
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, how do I translate an intangible, non-tangible feeling into something very tangible?
Experience, yeah, right.
How do I bring to people an experience that make people feel, this is at home. This is where I want to be. This is exactly how I felt when I was in Italy. This is charming, sweet, welcoming.
Yeah, the experience, the whole experience, not just the pizza.
It's just exactly, right. And with a service that makes a difference.
Oh yeah,
and then I was like, I got it, and I was like, you know, I gotta let me find a location that is insane, and you know, I got like four or five restaurants where I was about to sign leases in 2018, 2017, 2018, and the people were like, dude, how much money you have? I'm like, 500. No, not enough. Have you ever done a restaurant? Yeah, got my dad. Like, sorry, bro. not with me. Not with me. There's a vegan restaurant who they got like 5 day opening. It's good. So we were in LOIs in Venice Beach. Like, wow, we're gonna be cool in Venice Beach. Nothing wouldn't happen. They would kick me out everywhere. Like, you know,
really?
I'm sorry. They would just not. They don't give you a chance.
No.
The landlord, a landlord is gonna put you in his in your place, and you know nothing. You never done it. Big guy comes in.
I'm glad you said that, because I think so many people think like, Oh, there's a restaurant that is available. I'll take that one. But that doesn't.
It depends
only...
on. Yeah. It depends on the economy. It depends on who you meet. It depends on the fate of life. You know. Yeah.
A lot of factors.
You know, things. You know, economy was going so well. 17, 18, 19.
Yeah.
You're like, dude, the top dollar. Then, you know, it changed, right? And then the economy goes bad and people are like, oh, I really want to keep my job.
Yeah.
You know, it's where we are in life.
Yeah.
But then I was like, you know, damn, I'm not going to follow these. I'm not going to get on a bus with people who are cool. I'm just going to make my cool. How the hell did I do that? Yeah. It was out of necessary conditions.
No choice, right?
No choice, man. It was just like, Julio, sorry.
No.
Julio, there's a guy outside with the post. Can you tell them a mailbox? See how cool it is being a restaurateur, right?
I love this. This is my best
part. You know
part.
That, right?
Yeah, oh my God, this is amazing. Yeah, I would love. This is legitimately one of my favorite things that happened on this show. This is great.
I love it.
It doesn't stop. You got to keep going. You got to keep it moving.
Yeah,
I get it.
Yeah. in the corner, yeah.
Is that a delivery guy? Is that your cheese
delivery guy? Delivery guy. I love it, man. So this is a good 15 seconds to post it out there.
I love it. Yeah, this is it. This is for sure going to be it.
That's going to be it. No, Jay, over there in the corner.
Well, I mean, I thought getting the coffee was the first one, but this is better.
Yeah. Well, you know, we gotta play with it,
and we're not done yet.
I was like, okay, now what? Where am I gonna get this freaking restaurant? So I was like, okay, you know what? I'll take the majority of time in life. I take things like, okay, thank you, God, appreciate. It was not meant to be. I don't really dig into it too much. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter where. We're like 8 billion. Who gives a shit what I do in life? Right. Like, who cares, man?
Right.
Why would we care? Why would we really get into this? Like, you know, right. Dude, you're no one, you know.
Control the controllables, right? That's it. Can't control anything else.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, maybe let's open a restaurant. I called my realtor. I said, don't give me anything in cool areas. Give me everything in the worst areas possible, and the ugliest it is, the better it is. And if you actually have outdoor, I want outdoor. Nothing. But I'm a freaking weird guy. So what I do, I just go on freaking LoopNet, and I look for my own locations, because at the end of the day, in this life, no matter how you try, if you don't do it yourself, nobody's going to do anything for you.
You're not wrong. And I'll tell you this too. Yeah, in that situation, I don't know what year was this, you said? When you were doing this was
2018.
Okay, so yeah, I mean that at that time and similar to now, right? It's very tight to find restaurant spaces. You got those places that you're going to find are probably operating and they're not listed. So you can call them and say, "Hey, you know, are you interested in selling? Interested in selling?" Anything that's on the market for a while. I mean, unless you're looking for something like you're talking about here.
I cannot do the buying a property out of somewhere else. But Kyle, this was insane. Out of the blue. So I called 7 places. I went to check 7 places. I had a fever that day. I got $100,000 from 2 of my best friends as a seed money. I call my buddies and I say, guys, I just cannot find anything. This is possible to do a restaurant in LA. It's like people want 1.5. My buddies were like, dude, for a pizzeria, 1.5, what are we talking about?
Right. You'll never see that money again.
What are we talking about?
Yeah.
So I said, guys, I made 7 appointments today. I got a fever. That's it for me. Tomorrow I'll wire you $100K. Mm. I'm like, okay, I'll take the loss.
Yeah.
I got nothing. I don't have a job. I don't have anything. I don't come from money. I was living off of Airbnb. I had bought a house in 2008 and I couldn't afford to live into it. So I would live in the guest house and I would rent the house. I'm a super host on Airbnb. I make good money on Airbnb. I just leave. I'm a single guy.
That sounds awesome, man.
That's not bad at all. I had a great time. I actually even had a Porsche Boxster 714 GTS. I'm like, I spent $899 a month. I'm a single guy. I'm all good about it. Who cares? I'm 40, 45. Who cares?
Beautiful.
I look at the 5-6 places. They are not good. The last one is in a very dingy street in Hollywood. There's no one. There's no one on this street. There's a black gate. I'm like, I'm not opening a restaurant in this street. You gotta be kidding me. behind the black gate, I see the shape of what is the landlord waiting for me. I'm like, I cannot be a jerk. Let me park the car. I found a freaking parking spot, so I parked the car. As a gentleman, just you don't want to leave a guy waiting, right? Right, you don't do it. But I'm out. I'm totally out. I'm done.
You're already done. You're just going there to be an
done.
I respect that. That's very respectful.
Dude, it's done for me. It's totally, I'm out. I walked in this space. I'm going to share a photo with you. Man, I was like, you know, I was like, I don't know if I had to cry or if I had to smile. I was like, dude, I had a feeling in my heart. I was like, God, thank you. This is insane.
Wow.
When you see the restaurant, Kyle, when you see the photo of the restaurant, it's a 5,800 square feet old home from a movie director, from a theater stage director, all with planks of wood on the floor. 2x12 long, 20 feet, a wooden bar with doors opening into a courtyard. Closed for the last 10 years.
Wow.
It was called the Café des Artistes, made by a muse called Michèle Lamy. She's the wife of a famous fashion designer.
Okay.
And it was a place that in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000, stars, celebrity, and super cool people would go, and they would get just hammered. It was just, you would go in one way, you get out another way. And I'm like, oh my God, I've been inside here one time. And it was the best, and it was one of the best nights I've ever had. It was just fun, man. I was like, you know, there were like sofas, people kissing, you know, just beautiful. It was just great, man. It was just, and you know, the husband is called Rick Owen. It's a leather designer, punk rock, dark. She's super dark. They're phenomenal. If you look who they are, fantastic. I'm like, oh no, I cannot believe it. I took all my money off my 401k.
Wow.
All of it. I paid 43% for my savings because I did not put it into a C Corp or put it in an LLC. I got hammered. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I took it out. They're out. 2 days later, I called the landlord. I'm like, I have a check for you. Do not show the place to anyone anymore, please. Him and his husband, they just went crazy. They're like, these guys, just crazy shit. Wow. They give me an LOI. They give me the space. Before they make me sign the space, they take me out for lunch. And they're like, you are sure 100% of what you're doing, right?
Like, I've never heard a landlord trying to talk somebody out of his space.
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely. They took me. They're like, you sure? It's a hard job. You're for real. We want you to do this and that. And then I got to the city. They're like, where is this place? What is it? We don't have any records.
Oh, boy.
We didn't have electricity. We did not have anything. They would not give us the permits to open. They were like, no, I'm sorry, man. You know, we cannot find anything. There's 10 years of history. You need to reopen all the walls. You need to redo everything. You need to put sprinklers here and there. Dude, one day I almost got arrested at the city because I started yelling to everyone. I'm like, I just waste all my money. I'm not going to leave from here till somebody gives me an answer. Dude, yelling was the answer. They just took me. They just got me. They put me behind in a private room. They all got there. They said, like, okay, what do you need?
Yeah,
I had tears in my eyes.
You emptied every, gave them every dime you had, and now they're telling you they can't help you. That's, yeah, not going to work. And playing Mr. Nice Guy is not going to get you anywhere with those city departments.
Zero. We opened the restaurant on May 9th, 2019, 5 years ago, next month, with a generator.
Wow.
With a diesel generator in the back because we had to open before. Huge success from the beginning. It lasted 2 months.
Wow.
Then LA Times decided to write an article on the restaurant. Unfortunately, Jonathan Gold had died. And there was this new guy, Bill Addison, which was an ex-pastry chef that didn't make it. And he was at his first job. So I think he had the interest to put something out there that he was like catchy. So he wrote on the first page with my photos and everything after that they told us that he had come secretly and he had loved it. And they wanted to come and do photos. He actually wrote an article saying that this was the worst piece of shit he's ever had in his life. And that our sofas were like fluffy. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. I mean, are you a food critic or are you my sofas critic?
everything's up for grabs with those guys.
Yeah, and in a matter of 2 hours, when the article came out, I was writing a check for $100,000 for a liquor license. Again, this time I really had tears, but not of like, this time I was like, just like, you know, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
I almost thought about suing him and the LA Times. We wrote a really nice answer saying, hey, we appreciate everything. We put it on. Ether was so nice to put it online.
Isn't the restaurant business stressful enough without having to worry about your sales tax? I mean, you didn't get into this business because you're an accountant, right? You got into this business because you have passion. And the best use of your time is to focus on your passion, which is running your business. That's the only way you're going to grow, make more money. You have to outsource things to people and to technology that can make your life a whole lot easier. And Davo Sales Tax is, without a doubt, the number one thing you should do today, okay? Right now, as you're listening to this, go to your computer right now. Go to DavoSalesTax.com and sign up. They will take the sales tax right from your POS, and they will pay it for you. Okay? No brainer. Plus, it's about $55 a month. $55 a month to have that sales tax stress eliminated from your life. Go there today. The link is in the bio, and never have to worry about sales tax ever again.
You know what happened? The best thing ever. The best. On a Friday or a Thursday, that article came out. In a matter of 2 hours, every single reservation we had for the weekend got canceled.
Wow.
All of it. 3 hours later, we had a line outside the door and we had people calling and saying,
interesting.
I would walk, man, I got goosebumps right now. I would walk from table to table and I wouldn't say a word. And people would look at me and they would be, we just read the article. And don't worry, you're doing great. Wow.
Wow.
Dude, it was insane.
That's
it
what was matters. Just. Yeah.
It was insane. People got with us. People just really felt that there's a, you know, there's a guy, there's a human being behind the business that comes there, puts his face, just, you know, it's there.
Yeah.
It's, working it's, hard.
Yeah. It's connection, right? Like they connect with you. They see you there. Yeah. You're a human being behind it. It's not just a logo. You know?
It's not freaking money or something that you're like, you use the douchebag. I'm so good at what I do. You know, even that guy deserved, even the guy that deserves some love, right?
Right.
But you see, and that was the best thing ever. We got busy, 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 like busy. The restaurant did 3,500 covers per week, like 500 covers a day. We were busy. We just really had, we were in love. Like,
amen.
Love.
That's great.
Comes October, November 2019, I lose my voice. I talk to everyone every day at the table, everyone.
Yeah, of course. Job hazard.
I lose my voice for a month. I cannot talk. This losing my voice for a month becomes... I got sick. Christmas, I turned 45, 46. I met a girl in October, which became the mother of my baby.
Oh.
A gorgeous, gorgeous, beautiful Peruvian lady. I get to the restaurant around Christmas time, between Christmas and New Year's Eve. We're busy, busy, like super busy. I go to the chef. I'm like, chef, what happened? It's like, I don't know what happened, buddy. I'm like, chef, what are you guys doing? The food doesn't taste of anything. He's like, what do you mean, man? I'm like, try. He's like, it just tastes great. I'm like, dude, there's no freaking salt. I'm like, bro, you must have a problem. What's going on? I lost the sense of nose.
Oh, yeah.
And I had COVID from November, December 2019 all the way to March 2020.
Oh my gosh.
I did 90 days of antibiotics, three rounds of cortisone and steroids.
Wow. So they didn't, even know what it was.
No one had no idea.
Yeah.
No idea. I was like, oh my god, my doctor calls me in February, like, dude, you've had COVID since December. I'm like, okay. That's why I was like, man, I have photos of me like muerto.
Yeah. Right.
And then unfortunately I had bad news about my dad that unfortunately I got cancer at the time. Fortunately my dad is doing great. I'm so grateful about that. And so I signed up for a marathon. So I took a marathon. Okay. I took the LA marathon on March 8, 2020, with popping an antibiotic in the morning of going to the marathon. I did it with a cashmere hoodie. I have photos for all of this. The day after, I had no more COVID, and I felt great. I just took it out of my system.
Look at that. Sweat it out, right?
And Kyle, this is pretty much my story till and then there's the beauty of COVID. We retained all our stuff.
Wow.
We never fired anyone. And then because of the people loving us, we got people telling us, hey, this is great. You're great. We just created a fund for first responders. And we would like to use you guys as the company to deliver to hospitals. So we got busy people giving us $5 per lunch. Yeah. We kept all our stuff. We lost a lot of money, but it was great. Then we got PPP. And then we closed again. And when we closed again, I was like, I told my lady, I said, I don't know what to do now.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know what? You'll find something. Go smoke a doobie. So
yeah, there you go.
There you go. So I just got
bad advice.
Chill. I just got chill, and I look at her like a crazy guy. I'm like, oh my god, I got it. And she's like, what now? I'm like, babe, we're gonna open a drive-in. outside the restaurant in the parking lot. And we're going to put the food outside the cars. And we're going to rent our parking spots to people. I'm a maniac. I call my lawyer. I said, can I do that? He's like, yeah, you can. The morning after, I went to buy a lot of 4x4s. And I built a screen. I bought a screen. I called all my friends at the studio. I'm like, can you give me movies? They're like, okay. So I put the movies in. Now the LA Times calls me. From being a jerk.
You're a genius.
Yeah. A super sweet lady. She's like, dude, you're weird. You're like, this is genius. This is fantastic. This is great. Kyle, hear me out. 3 days later, I got a phone call from Disney.
Wow.
They're like, hey, we just read that you created a drive-in outside the restaurant, and people come over there and they sit in the car, they turn the car around, they lay in the car. We gave them a speaker, you know, headset to watch a movie. They log in into their system, their radio, we have a transmitter, they watch movies. People are telling us, thank you, man. You saved our family. We are out with our kids.
Yeah, it's
true. It was desperation in November, December 2020.
Oh, yeah. Especially him in New York. I was here in New York, so it was awful.
People gave us their heart, man. Yeah. They were so happy. We were there, fearless with this mask. Disney calls me like, we need to launch Disney Plus. we want to rent your parking lot.
Oh, my God. That's incredible.
And how beautiful, you know, how beautiful is shit like that?
That's incredible. So they wanted to launch the platform, and they needed your
Wow. I have photos for you. Date night in the parking lot to Disney Plus, and they watching cartoons, and they invite people, and we serve them food outside their car. They're like inside the car. Thank you.
Not how you envisioned it, but it worked, right?
It just worked, and you know what it is that it works and shit. You know, I learned this line that is so beautiful that says, the more you give, the more you give.
Right.
That's so freaking great. Because if you give,
you're just
happy to give, man. Because when you give, it means you have it for others.
Right.
You don't need anything from anyone. And because it's better.
That's the trait for somebody who runs a restaurant that's That's pretty invaluable, right? I mean, that's kind of
so
but I mean, oh, I could tell you are obviously super passionate about what you do and how you do it. And you have 4 locations, right? Going on 5 and plans to do more. How do you envision transferring that experience to all these locations? I mean, is that a challenge?
Oh, yeah. No, you know what happens? Is we do a pretty consistent training of our staff when we open locations.
Mm.
And I spend time from one location to the other. Call it luck or call it part of the process. But somehow we hire very sweet guys.
Oh, you attract them. You attract them, I'm sure, right? Like they know who you are.
And they see me working. Yesterday, I was painting outside the restaurant. Clearly, I could have hired somebody, but I wanted to do it because I needed the mental health of just really painting, you know, the letters outside the restaurant. And people understand. I just talk very easily with my staff. That I consider friends, family, team, everything. I look at people and I say, like, listen, you know, I had jobs in my life and I had bosses that were like terrible. I had also some good bosses, but you know, a job is never a vacation, it's a job. But if we can make our job being beautiful, then it's really nice. And people come to work in my restaurants, our restaurants, with happiness because, dude, you're serving a person dinner. They're giving you a smile. They're talking to you. They're looking for an experience. If you give respect to people, me to my staff to their cooks, their bussers, their dishwasher. I literally pretty much know all of 350 people that we employ by name. I find everyone a sweetheart, for lack of better words. I empathize with the fact that every human being goes through shit.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Doesn't matter who they are, right?
You got money, you are sick. You don't have money, you are whatever. And all we can do is to bond. I got my rules. If you know, the rules are very clear that I put out there is, you know, like in New York, I go back and forth. So most of the times they're alone. Mm-hmm. I look at them. I'm like, dude, you run my freaking restaurant.
Yeah.
I deserve respect the same way as I give you an opportunity to respect. So don't do shit.
Right.
Because you got the freedom to do whatever you want, so do it right. So, you know, of course you give them importance, but you also, that it's beautiful because we as human beings, especially when we're not 20 anymore, we should really embrace and get the best out of other people for them and yeah. for the company.
Everybody needs
but
that.
But we want to grow together, you know, it's yeah. like, this is great. If I do it right, one day I might be making so much money, which probably my son is going to enjoy.
Right.
What does that mean to me?
Right.
What means to me right now is how do I conduct my life as a 50-year-old man? How do I enjoy my 50 to 60 to 70, if God ever wants? What do I do to make my life beautiful at the same time, put my head on the pillow at night and say, I had another great day.
Yeah.
I did something good today.
And do you find that the restaurant itself, because that's a big thing, right? Again, it's easy to get caught up in the restaurant, like, this is hard, this is a tough day, you know, we're not busy, or the delivery didn't show up on time, and people let that ruin their day. How do you turn that into, like, hey, it is what it is? I mean, you have a very zen-like mindset about this, it seems. Is that something that...
On this interview with you, yes. On 50% of my days, yes. But...
You got to let it loose.
I cannot fake the fact that I never thought, I never wish... and I've had days in which I, you know, when I get the phone call from my business manager saying, how am I going to pay this tomorrow? Or when I got, you know, the first, the second, or the third lawsuit, or, you know, some ambulance chasers, or some everything, or when you get somebody fighting with you, or when you get your partner this or this, that. And but mainly when you have to make, you know, now at my level, which is not a big level, it's a normal small level, I'm still the guy making decisions, which for somebody might look like, so cool, dude, yeah. you own it. I'm yeah, like, right. no, dude. You have no idea. I don't want to be that guy.
Right.
I want a board of advisors.
Right.
I want daddy yeah. to tell me as a Francesco 5, 10 and 15 years old, I got your back, buddy.
Right. Yeah.
And in life, the same way as my dad left when I was really a teenager, probably you get it back when you're a 50-year-old guy and you're like, wow, I'm like, I gotta be that guy taking that decision.
Yeah, it's a weird feeling.
That it's a tough one that might throw me under the bus.
Yeah.
That I got 350 people I gotta pay salaries to.
And their families and all that stuff. It becomes a lot if you let it, yeah.
So yes, I got that zen, but I think that zen has kept me alive.
Yes, for sure.
I don't know how say that's happening because Kylie, it's responsibility. I can only imagine. Not that I want to compare myself to anyone, but imagine the people that are. Imagine yesterday I got gifted a book about President Obama, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I always reference President Obama probably because in the U.S. I came 2002, but he was 2008. And he was a very beautiful, happy guy, regardless of whether you are left or right. He was very beautifully spoken. But sometimes I think about, wow, when you are in a position of power and you have a responsibility, dude, that must be like insane. How do you sleep at night? Not that I think like, you know, but I'm just thinking like, wow, as a guy who needs to make decisions, you need to go back home, you need to turn off your phone and think about your child, talk to your wife. It's tough.
Oh yeah.
It's tough. Tough. I don't want to do it by myself.
How old is your son?
2.5.
Wow. All right. So
love of my life.
So you'll love this. I'm 47.
Uh-huh.
And we have a 8-month-old.
Oh, maybe boy. Your first?
So yeah, he's my first, but we have my wife has a daughter from another. So I've had, so there's Juliana and Luca, and Juliana is 16. So
come over here. my wife has an 18-year-old.
Oh, so. Wow.
I got you right. Call me later.
How do you balance a couple of advice. I know. I might need to smoke a doobie with you. That raising having a baby in this business. What that's
No. Oh. We got I'm telling you. Come to the restaurant if you ever can in New York. Yeah. We'll have lunch or dinner together, or bring the family. I gotta tell you, the challenges, beautiful challenges that I got by being the father of a kid who's not mine. Sweetheart of a kid.
Yeah.
Sweetheart of a kid. But you're still not his father.
Right. Yeah.
And I put myself in his shoes. Like, who the hell is this guy that sleeps with my mom?
Right.
And he's got his dad. And so, you know, again, also there, you want to be a firm guy to give him the teachings that are going to be beneficial for his life. But at the same time, you want to be sweet. You want to put yourself, you know, outside the question, you know, you want to be just there for him. You're probably going to be there for her, depending on, you know, of course, your situation, her situation. But then you got lucky because, you know, my stepson, Diego, loves my son, Alessandro, to pieces. He loves him like crazy. Alessandro goes crazy for his brother, which is what is going to happen to you with your daughter and your boy.
It's starting to happen already, yeah.
when your boy gets 18 months and they start like being like papa, mama, and talking, dude, your life is gonna, it's just so beautiful.
Yeah,
you and I did it at the same time.
That's that's something that I tell like guys my age or even a little bit older. We have some guys in our family who don't have kids, and they're like, you know, I can never do this, I don't want to do that. I said, if I could inject you with the feeling and give you 10 minutes, you'd be out trying to have a baby with any woman that walked past you.
The absolute best thing you can ever do.
Yeah.
As long as you understand that unfortunately, even in this chapter of our life, the only thing that matters is to give. Because what you get back is papa.
Oh, yeah.
How many times do you call your father? How many times do you call your parents?
Yeah.
If your father is not the best man on the planet, your son is going to forget about you.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So all you have is...
No pressure.
All you have is just going to be the best guy for this guy because I love the shit out of this guy.
Yeah.
Dude, I watch... car race with the 2.5-year-old baby. I put him on my lap. We get the phone. We watch Car Wow drag race. And he turns around, looks at me, Papa, wow. And I take him in the car and we go so fast. What? And he's like, 1, 2, 3, go. And then I accelerate. He's like, whoa.
That's fun.
That is just
oh, yeah.
the best that you can ever. But nobody can understand if they don't have kids.
No. And everybody tells you leading up to it, oh, how are you going to do it? How are you going to do it? And my one buddy, Eric, shout out to my buddy, Eric Wilson. He said, look, when you're in it, nothing else matters. If he's crying, if he needs food, if he's having a laugh, it becomes the most important thing in the world. And you just do it. You handle it. And you just have a way to do it, which – so I'm glad we can share that experience together.
And I think the most important thing here is they should really teach people how to keep their freaking relationship together.
Yeah. Instead of teaching you how to get divorced. Or forcing it.
They should teach people. We should have a counselor that says, "You did this shit, and you're not even 20-year-old. Now you keep it together." And yeah. I'm glad that my lady and I were keeping it together. But dude, it's hard.
Oh yeah,
it's hard. It's hard for her. It's hard for me. It's hard with the business. It's hard even with that.
Everything's hard, right? Like, I mean, it's that's the thing. People wait for things to be easier when they should just figure out how to handle the hard stuff, right?
Communication becomes the biggest key to keep it. If you start not communicating with your wife, especially now, you know, sometimes I tell my wife, my we're not married, but, you know, say, I look at her, I say, like, Sometimes I say, I wish I had a 17 or 18 year old. I'd love to see how you would be. Because it's not easy also to be a stepdad.
Oh, no.
No, but again, who am I going to sell it to? At the end of the day, it's my family, and you better get the best out of it.
Yeah, and that alone, I tell, you know, when we had the baby and Juliana was you know, she was 16. I just turned 16. She was a little bit concerned that, like, she said to me, she's like, he's going to be more important to you than me. And I was like, never. You're the first kid that I ever took care of.
Oh, you know,
she was nine.
So you guys,
she was
you
nine.
Guys been together for many years? Oh.
So, yeah. So we've been together for a while. So, but this.
So she's like, you're really daddy.
Yeah.
Nine to 16, you're daddy. Elsa is a girl. I mean, how are you not going to love a little girl? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. No, and she's great. You know, her character is
so
something
beautiful.
That I'll... Yeah, exactly. So it's a gift.
It's so beautiful.
Before we should do a whole podcast on being dads in the restaurant business.
Oh, fantastic.
Let's just talk about the pizza real quick. I mean, how... I mean, you're carrying a pretty... I mean, this is a, what, 152-year-old recipe. I mean, any concern about screwing that up, or how do you handle, like, that's a big responsibility, right?
Yeah,
especially in New York, right? You're coming to bring that to New York
for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. We get you know, we know the recipe, we know what we're doing. It becomes pretty easy once you master the fact that you know that's your dough, that's your hydration, that's the products you use. I do see every once in a while a pizza that goes in the trash, which I always tell the guys, please do not throw it in the trash and give it to the kitchen. Or let's give it to people in the street.
Yeah.
Because we like the perfection, because it is so simple that it's very easy to screw up, right? So one of my good friend chef, big James Beard Award chef, one day told me, he asked me, what's the most difficult dish to do? And I said, I knew it. I said, you know, spaghetti aglio olio. He said, yeah. And I said, he said, okay, you know. I said, yeah. He said, because, you know, you really can burn the garlic in a minute, and you just have garlic and oil to play with and yeah. chili. So, you know, there's no hiding.
Right.
There's no hiding. So what we do is exactly the same. We don't. We do give you also a soppressata, diavola, and the prosciutto, and something else. But my benchmark is quality. So if you have that in mind, if that's your goal, then whenever a client comes in, you'll find me eventually at the table talking to people and say, "Do not buy too much food. and please stay with the simple products.
Yeah.
And people, you know, Kyle, people are different than they were 5 to 10 years ago.
Yeah.
At least in New York and LA or on the coast or upscale, a little bit more traveled. You can see that people are now looking at product in a different way that they would have it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
There's still a mediocre of everything, not just pizza.
Yeah.
Around. But there's a market for people like us that like to do good quality. Okay. I think, you know, you get the once in a while review that says, oh wow, the pizza was very juicy, very wet. I couldn't handle it together because that's, you know, you grew up right. with this kind, yeah, right. you know. So, but overall, you see that people are ready to embrace a better approach to food.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing that, you know, most people don't understand is that the simple stuff is the hardest, right? You have the quality ingredients, and that's that they speak for what you're putting out there. That's why my two favorite cuisines are Italian and Spanish food, because they focus on the priority. Yeah,
for sure. It's just the quality of the products. Mm. There's no cooking. There's no French butter and creams and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just imagine something very simple, and that's that's very cool to share with people. Is, you know, when you go to Whole Foods and you get the best organic cheese, it has a 30 plus days of shelf life.
Yeah.
So in order to have a mozzarella to stay 30 days on a shelf, plus production, plus this, plus that, so 40, 45 days, you need to pasteurize that product to the highest temperature to kill all the bacteria. Yes. You're basically eating a ball of plastic.
Right.
You're putting in your stomach something that is not chewable.
Right.
Our cheese that we bring from Italy, if we don't use it in 3 to 5 days, it basically gets rotten. It right. just gets blue.
Yeah.
So the quality of what you do, you know, you gotta really believe that fresh ingredients will eventually save our lives in the years to come.
Yeah, I agree. It matters.
What are we doing with it?
Yeah.
You can't.
So before we wrap up here, I'm curious, what is your plan for this? What's the ultimate goal for this? Two-part question. What is your ultimate goal for your business here in the States? And then what would be the piece of advice you have for somebody who's maybe in your shoes and struggling a little bit? The one piece of advice.
Okay, my goal in this business, my goal in this is very, very cheesy, very, no pun intended. but greatness would really be the ultimate goal in terms of, I read something about George Bernard Shaw saying that we should get to the end of our life fully consumed. You gotta just really consume yourself.
Yeah.
Like you just need to leave. You wanna leave? I wanna leave. I wanna just enjoy my life at home in silence, at the ranch with my family, at the beach, on the mountains, at the restaurant, in the city with people. I just want to live. I just want to do great. I just want to be a people's person. I just want to have as many friends as I can. I really couldn't care less of having the money. I have no one to party with.
Right.
I'd rather have what is enough, but I have people that smile at me when they see me.
Absolutely.
And vice versa. That's my goal. Nice. So that's where I see greatness. Advice for people that are, whether struggling or non-struggling, deciding to entering in the business, deciding anything they want, I just tell them, sometimes I tell myself is, do you want to be part of this game? Then you got to be okay with the rules. And if you want to be really, really big, then you got to just really break your back.
Yeah. There's no easy way.
Otherwise, you want to do yourself a favor, which is sometimes what I think I'm going to do with myself. Do not be part of the game. Mm. Don't want to play the game? Don't play it. Right. Get out of it. Don't fight with contractor. Don't fight with landlords. Don't fight anymore with people. You're not part of the game. You're out. You're doing what you want. Your choice. You're happy, 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 and maybe not happy.
Right.
I don't know how you're going to feel. I don't know how I'm going to feel. But if you want to be part of the game, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just be prepared, because nothing has ever been gifted. Only the lottery and selling drugs. So I don't know if you want to do any of the two.
Those are your
the
three
first
choices,
one,
right.
The first one, it's very hard to happen. The second one might take you to jail or something. So I don't know. You know, I mean, I have no other options.
You got to weigh your options there, yeah.
You want to have one restaurant, deal with one restaurant. You want to have five, deal with five. Want to have whatever you got to do, you got to work hard.
Yeah, that's it. People are always looking for that one answer, like, oh, that's all I have to do and things are going to change. It just doesn't happen.
This is the way it is. It's like, you know, and every story is going to be different, but I don't, and some are going to be lucky, and some is going to be not lucky, and some is going to make it, some is not going to make it. What I think is important here, though, is I think, which could be an answer that is not just philosophical as I gave it, is you want to get into something, you need to follow your guts. Yeah. Your guts, not your ego. Your ego is, oh, if I do this, I'm going to be dead. If there's a double situation, you're out.
Yeah.
But if you feel like that's the business I want, I love that, this is exactly the restaurant I've always wanted, I'm going to put my heart into this, these beautiful people are going to come, I have a story to tell, I will embrace that, you're going to be successful because your heart is into it.
That's it. That's great. That's a great place to end. I appreciate your passion. I mean, this is what it takes. This is what it takes. There's no easy way, right? Follow your gut, I think, is some of the best. It's like the very often used phrase, but it's never been more true. Even if I look back on what I did with my restaurant, even every day when you look back, like, oh, I knew that was the wrong decision, or I knew that was the right decision.
You know when it's right or wrong. You know, if you're honest with yourself, you know.
Yeah. All right, great. I think we're done.
Very cool.
Fantastic.
I'll be back in New York the week of the 22nd of April.
Okay.
I think you guys are like 45 minutes, an hour away with a train.
Yeah, you know, the Greenwich train, depending. Yeah, it's not even. So, yeah, for sure. And our offices are in town, so I'm here all the time.
Whenever you're in town, great. Bring the family for dinner. The four of you guys with a good weather, we'll have some fun. Bring my family.
I would love that. I appreciate that so much. Thank you so much. Best of luck, and I'll be in touch. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, let's share phone number.
Yeah, I'll email you now. Is that good?
Ciao, brother.
All right, ciao. Thank you so much.
Ciao, man. Bye. Appreciate you, man. Thank you. Diego. Amazing podcast. That was great. You gotta fucking do it in life, man. How was it? Oh, that was great.
It looked great.
Fucking did it. Oh, I did a podcast.
I know.
Hey, this guy takes his job very seriously. Every day that I'm here, it's like he's always here. Like, how many days do you work?
Six.
Six?
I got six shifts.
My God, Diego. You know I convinced him to do this.
To become a waiter?
Yeah. Well, I told him you would make a great career as a manager.
Oh, that's good.
Diego, didn't I say that?
Yeah. He told me that I was going to make $2,000 cash.
I said to him, I said, we said, you know, you gotta get out of construction.
That's what I did, man. I listened to
exactly.
You.
Exactly.
I want to be like you.
I didn't even. Oh, you don't want to do that.
No, I don't.
You really don't. You remember the bullshit?
Yeah.
Remember the fights?
I got nightmares.
Huh?
I got nightmares.
Dude, I have nightmares every fucking night of my life. Every.
That's what you have always.
You know how many nightmares
I did a great podcast. I love it.
All right, folks, that's another episode of Close Monday in the bag. Look, if you've been listening and you're still here, it's clear that you're someone who's committed to taking their business and their life to the next level. So just don't let this be something that you just listen to and forget about. You got to take action on what you learned today. And look, I don't ask for a lot from you guys. Here's the deal. If you found any value in this episode, please subscribe. Leave me a review. Not for me, but for yourself. You don't want to miss the actionable insights that we've got lined up for future episodes, the guests who have their story to share. And if you think this podcast could change someone else's game, could change their direction of their business, of their restaurant, then understand that your network is your net worth. So if you share that with people, you start to become you're the one, right? You're the one they're going to go to, and you start to attract the right people into your life. You attract more people into your business, and that's just the way that it goes. Now for some real interaction. Like I said, if you screenshot that you are listening to this show, tag the show, tag me. I will send you a Close Monday t-shirt. And if you've got a burning question or a topic you want to tackle, like I said, you can always DM or shoot me an email at kyle@4-turns.com. Your question just might be the focus point of a whole new episode. That's it, right? Like that's kind of how this goes. We're always looking for inspiration. So keep your eyes on the prize. Keep your feet on the ground. Stay humble. And until next week, this is Close Monday. And I'll see you soon. Thanks, guys.